This, too, gave the Chatoverians a problem. What were the cities for? Nobody had lived in a city for 1,100 years. So their research teams had to figure out what future use the cities might be put to, based on resources, proximity to rivers and the sea, what crops grew in that climate, who they might someday trade with, how many people would have to be housed for what industry. It was very complex and quite difficult. Establishing the indigenous architecture was easy in Asia, fairly easy in Europe, impossible in America. This last continent had gone madly modern, and the Chatoverians couldn't abide it. So they just had to take the most interesting landmark sort of buildings they found on the sites, duplicate those, and make lots and lots of parks. The parent company in Chatoveria had overbought Zip monorails on another job, so they shipped those in and internally connected the cities up high so their parks wouldn't be spoiled with roads. They had to get a Hauvin company in to clean up the radiation around Denver. They did it with flying magnetic sweeps. Then the Chatoverians rebuilt that whole area, including even Johnny's village. There were no populations, so when they would finish a city, they would just seal up the doors and windows, put a caretaker crew in, and leave it. Oh well, Johnny thought when he saw all these empty cities going up. Maybe somebody would live in them someday. Kerr took charge of the mine school in Edinburgh, and the cyclos that were left alive moved there and gave lectures and demonstrations. Absolute hordes of extraterrestrials were pouring in to learn how to mine their own planets and get the metals moving again. Kerr pictographed all the lectures so the technology wouldn't be lost. He used Cornwall and Victoria for practical training, and it kept him pretty busy, tearing around with Chirk, who had the job of building up the libraries. Kerr had a trick of wearing breathe masks with the face of the race he was training painted on it. It made for friendlier relations, he said. There were an awful lot of ex-cyclo planets that had slave populations or people withdrawn to mountains, and the coordinators were very busy running their coordinator college in Edinburgh, showing former subject races how to get organized and prosper. Their enrollment was greatly assisted by the fact that the Galactic Bank gave much more favorable interest rates to such planets when they had coordinators trained in Edinburgh. The New Earth government claimed that the chief of Clan Fergus was king, probably due to the influence of Mr. Tsung's brother. This made Dunaldine the crown prince. But from all Johnny could see, neither the chief nor Dunaldine took his elevation very seriously. The government was very reluctant to pass laws and generally left things up to tribal chiefs in their own areas, intervening only when there was no other way to end a dispute among them. They were very popular. Colonel Ivan, with the title of the Democratic Valiant Red Army People's Colonel, ruled Russia. Johnny's village people helped him, and then some of the younger ones went back to America to try to get it started again. Chief Chong Wan and the North Chinese tribe made an alliance and began to build up China. Handicraft and silk for export handled their economic needs. They also had a cooking school that became widely attended, for the Salachis, spread all over the galaxies even farther due to their neighborhood banks, swore it was the best cooking anywhere, particularly for fish dishes, and were quick to finance any extraterrestrial who wanted to start a Chinese restaurant in his area, providing he sent some cook trainees to learn how. There were usually more cook trainees in China than Chinese. They not only had to learn to cook, but also had to learn how to grow much of the food. The extra labor and machinery boomed Chinese agriculture and fisheries, and as Chief Chong Wan remarked every time he saw Johnny, which was often, starvation was no longer the main product of the Chinese. Johnny often wondered how an extraterrestrial who ate quite another diet could learn to cook food he would never eat. But the power of the bank and the appetites of the Salachis were similarly wonderful.